wounded soul, wounded spirit. That's why they're drawn together, because they don't want to hear how to get out of it. They want to be able to stay in it. Bethany said the other day, Bethany saw something the other day, and it amazed her. Did the dog vomit and eat it? Yeah, the dog vomited and he ate it. The Bible says the dog will return to his vomit. Okay, the dog vomited and ate it. And I said, right, but you know what, though? You clean their mess up, okay? They don't have spick and span and bounty. Yeah, none of that, but they can still get the goods and let it rip again, okay? So, if there's anything good in it. What I was going to say is, the what I'm trying to make is a person with a wounded spirit is going to be like that dog that returns to his own vomit. They're just going to keep reliving and reliving and reliving and hashing it out and hashing it out. And the more they relive it, the more they hash it out, the more they become the victim, and the more the person that hurt them become mean. The more happens. So you got to watch this. It's very important that I do my best. I've caught myself, I think it was like about 8 months ago. Somebody in my family done something that was horrendous, and then act like it didn't even bother them, and they hurt several people. And for the moment, I said, you know what? I got in the flesh, and I said, Lord, to keep from killing them, I will avoid them. And when they talked to me, I just kind of, and after a day or so, guess what? The Lord convicted me and said, how are you going to win them? How are you going to talk to them? How are you going to do anything accomplished with your big old nose stuck up in there? I said, I'm sorry, Lord. See, that was false humility. It was actually pride. I'm better than they are. Wow. So, it's an important thing. We've got to keep our minds on these things. See, this stuff here, Satan don't want you to hear this stuff. That stuff Sunday. He don't want us to hear that stuff Sunday. This week coming up, this Sunday comes, how to deal with difficult people. All right? And it's going to be biblically how to deal with difficult people. That's one way. Boom, yeah. 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 That Daniel tickled me. Daniel said, Daddy, I said, how do you do when you go in to arrest Spanish people and people that speak all this other kind of languages? He said, Daddy, I found out no matter who I go to arrest, there is a universal language that every last one of them understand. I said, what is that, Sonny? He said, no matter what they spoke, when you went, shh, they went. It was like, whatever that mechanical shh was, put your hands up. Okay, so remember, a wounded spirit, a wounded soul is a terrible, terrible thing. And I'm going to talk about that in the next few weeks coming up too. So y'all getting some previews about the wounded soul. All right, number three. First, he pardons. We've got to put our past shame and blame behind us. Secondly, he heals. We've got to be liberated from our old hurt. If you're going to claim what God's got for you, you're going to have to be able to put away old hurt and blame. We cannot walk in church and go, well, he hurt me, and he talked about me, and she ain't living like I think she should. She's not measuring up my measuring stick, and that one back there, I know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. And you walking in there, and so instead of worshiping God, you come in, should be wearing your robe and your little powdered wig, and bring a gavel. Guilty. 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 And God looks at you and says, why are you complaining about the toothpick in their eye when you got a telephone pole in yours? Yeah, go watch The Shack. Yeah, that's awesome movie. Okay. I watched it it had me crying the second time. I had to let Bethany see it. Look there, and Bethany's over there slobbering too. Okay. So God redeems. Now watch this part about redeeming. Now, don't just think about this. Don't just think about redeeming now as being saved because, all right, watch this. He heals. He forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now, of course, it's got to do with our salvation. Number one priority, because if we're not saved, then we're on the way to hell. But watch what else it is. We can see our abilities and personality redeemed. I've known some people that were mean as pure rattlesnakes. And God get a hold of them and change them. I got people in my family. Remember I told you I had an uncle so mean that he had to hold a gun to his head every morning when he shaved to keep from cutting his own throat? That's mean. But before he died, his heart was soft because God got a hold of him. This same man, I got a chance at his funeral. It was so awesome. I got a chance at his funeral. I preached his funeral. The sad part, well, there's more than one sad thing, but it was sad that he had died. But my wife had just died 3 weeks before, and we'd just been in the funeral home. And my wife with her. And now 3 weeks later, I'm in the funeral home again with my uncle, with all my family, my uncle, and DC and Daniel. They wanted them playing. That's the first time they ever had Simple Man played at a funeral. Since then, they've played it hundreds of times because I gave them CDs of it, and they play them all the time. And I've used it. I think I've used Simple Man probably 20 times since then, but that was the first time Simple Man was ever used. But DC and Daniel were playing it, and I told them it was going to be therapy. And they walked out after service, and they were crying. They said, "Daddy, I don't know what you call it, but that ain't therapy." And DC and Daniel never went to another funeral. The first funeral Daniel, DC went to was Lenny Rice's funeral, and he sang "I Can Only Imagine" for Lenny Rice. And Daniel was just being a deputy, and Daniel couldn't get off. So Daniel's been to one or two funerals, and DC's only been to a couple since their mother died. So, and that's been 17 years ago. So, getting back here, that he redeems. He sees our abilities and personality redeemed. Praise God. You know, somebody, one old grouch got in the restaurant. I heard him, I was sitting at the table next to me. He looked over at the waiter and says, "Do y'all serve crabs in here?" And she said, "Sit down, mister. We'll serve anybody." God takes our old personalities and can change them. And if you've got a comical personality, God's just going to just make it comical and use it. If you've got a serious personality, he'll use that. You know, we've done this personality test, and some of us are more comical than others. It has been shown and been shown strongly that in counseling, humor in the right place is very powerful. In medical, in anything medical, when somebody's being taken care of, humor is a great thing to use. You just got to know when to use it. You know, somebody comes and says, I've got 3 days to live, and you go, "Ah, ha, ha," that's the wrong time. Okay. But they come in. I remember I was on call. I don't know. I remember I was working. I was working 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. At Pitt Hospital. I get a call about 4 o'clock in the morning. So I go to this lady's room, and she said, "Where are you, Pastor?" And I said, "Ma'am, I'm not here representing my church. I'm here representing God for the hospital." That's what we were told to say. And she said, "No, I need to know where you pastor." I said, "Ma'am, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but where I pastor is irrelevant. I'm here representing God for the hospital." And she said, "Well, you better tell me where you pastor." And I said, "Well, if you got to know, I pastor Williamson Church of God." She went, "Glory!" And I said, "Yeah." I went, "Excuse me?" She said, "Hallelujah." And I said, "Come on now, what are we talking about here? What's going on?" She said, "That other chaplain come here and told me to get ready to die. Told me that my days were numbered. I'm getting ready to die." And she said, "I asked God to send me a man of faith in here that would believe that God could do something." And she said, "He sent me a Church of God boy." And I said, "Well, sister, I know God can heal you. I've seen him do it before." She said, "Come on, tell me some more, bro." And so, she said, "Tell me some of what the Bible says." And so I just told her, we had a little revival going on in there. And then when I got out, she was laughing and shouting and having a good time. Again, timing's everything. Okay? Now, not only does God pardon, not only does God heal, not only does God redeem, but God crowns. Here it goes again. It says, "Who says out of the mouth of good things, so thy youth is renewed like an eagle." And "He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Here it is. He crowns. Who crowns us with gifts in places and a place to serve. Now, you say, well, what is that talking about? Everybody have a pulpit? Yeah, we've all got a pulpit. Did you know that? Everybody in here has got a pulpit. Is everybody in here a pastor? No. Is everybody in here called to a pulpit ministry? No. But everybody here has a pulpit. Your pulpit can be your office desk. Your pulpit can be your shopping cart when you're in Walmart. Your pulpit can be a boat. Your pulpit can be on top of a house, wherever you're at. Because the pulpit is only a place where you stand to bring a message. And many of us, every day, we stand to give messages. Now, last night, we had to get something from Walmart, because I have to go to Walmart a lot now, because I'm getting, not only for my family, or excuse me, our house, but Linda will say, well, hubby, can you think about, can you get me this while you're there? So I'm getting something for Linda while she's at her mama's house. And then she says, by the way, mama needs some more bowls and plates. And so I'm getting for mama and daddy. Her mama and daddy, I'm getting for Linda, and I'm getting for the house. Me and Beth and Linda, when she's at the house, she's at the house 1 or 2 days a week. And so I went in there, so I said, you know, Bethany, after y'all get, I'm going to get y'all out. It was my turn to bring supper, so I brought subs from Subway. And I was waiting for Linda to get off work, so I don't eat with them. Bethany's with her mom and dad. And so I said, I'm going to go into Walmart and get this stuff so it won't be there. Like, because every time I go to Walmart, I run into somebody that says, can I talk to you for a minute? And I go, and I'm here, and I go, they don't want to talk about the weather. Matter of fact, last time we were there late at night, I was like, I mean, I had to get, I think it was a Saturday night. It's either a night where a paper was due the next day or the preaching was due the next day. And I ran into somebody and they said, can I talk to you? And I knew it. I knew it. And I said, look, I gave them my card and said, here, call me when you're ready. I thought they could come by the time I got out, but they didn't, praise God. And when I wound up talking to them, it wound up being like a 3-hour conversation. And so I was glad I wanted, and they already had me there for 45 minutes in Walmart. So I went last night, and I said, I'll hurry up and get through here. And then I'm going to have to start being like the unknown comic. You remember the unknown comic on the Gong Show? Where the bag over his head? When I go into Walmart, with a bag over my head. Because the other day I said, I've made it all the way out of Walmart. All the way. I'm not kidding. Watch this. Here's the parking lot, and there's the cars. And I said, wow, I'm making all the way out of Walmart, and I've only seen 2 people, and I got through it quick, and I said, praise God, I'm on the way. And I walked by the car, and the guy said, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, have you got a minute? I said, okay. So 45 minutes later, Linda, well, it worked out pretty good, because Linda, as I was getting in the car, Linda said, oh, honey, I forgot to ask you to get this. Can you go? Can you get this while you're there? I said, well, here I am. Praise God. All right. That's right. I know, Bethany. Thank you. So we're crowned with gifts and a place to serve. Wherever you are, that's where you serve. At home you serve. At work you serve. Wherever you are, there you serve. And I just had, he's up to something. Wherever you are, there you serve. Amen. You know, last night, you know, this was so awesome. I was with, as I was going through Walmart, this young lady come. Of course, this thing kept saying, automatic register said, unrecognized. We don't recognize what you got. I just zapped it. It said, it picked it up, threw it up there. I got a thing of tuna. I set it down and said, we don't recognize it. Please remove it. So I picked it up. Then I picked up dog food. I set it down. Everything's fine. Now I get something else that doesn't scan it. And here goes that voice again telling me, now, pick it up and put it back over there. Please redo it, blah, 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 blah. And I finally asked the lady behind me, I said, excuse me, ma'am. She says, yes. I said, can you get, and I've done this before. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you turn this to a man's voice? And she started laughing. She says, excuse me. I said, can you make this a man's voice? She says, why? I said, I'm getting sick of women telling me all day what to do. And she gets laughing. And so she comes up and stands beside me. And as we're getting stuff done, the Lord spoke to me and said, bless her. didn't know how. All I heard was bless her. And so as I got my stuff up, she walked over to help somebody else. When I got my stuff, she walked up to, back up to me, and she said, and it was a teenager, and she said, thank you, sir. I hope you have a great day. And it hit me. I looked at her and said, you have a smile that is so contagious. I said, you keep that attitude up. And she lit right up. I mean, you would have thought that I'd give her $100. And the other day I was over there back in the freezer section. This guy was pulling this great little big stuff of food. He's coming along. He's trying to put stuff up. And here I am getting right in his way, getting hot dogs to feed my in-laws. So I'm getting hot dogs. And he turns around and says something. I looked at him and said, and I did see it. And the Lord told me again, bless him. And so here it is. Remember, you serve where you're at. And so here I am in the meat section at Walmart. And here's the guy. And I look at him, and it hit me. Bless him. And I looked at him, I said, I bet you your friends follow you wherever you go. He said, yes, sir. I said, I bet you have a crowd following you wherever you go. He said, yes, sir. I said, you don't have to call them to you. They just are attracted to you. He said, yes, sir. I said, you know what God's giving you? He said, what's that, sir? I said, he's giving you the gift of leadership. And I said, it shines on you. It shines so bright. It's like a beacon. And I said, I want you to do me a favor. He said, well, I said, I want you to cultivate that, not for me, but for God, because God's got something special for you. And it was like a lightning bolt came down from heaven. You could see it hit him. And it was so amazing because I walked back through the store and come back through, and I saw him saying, all right, fellas, come on, we can get this over here. And let's get this. I said, glory. Well, no, I don't want to work at Walmart. No. No, I don't want to work at Walmart. Believe me, I do not want to work at Walmart. What I was going to say is, though, you see what I'm saying? You can serve any place you're at. Last night, I come in, and my mother-in-law, bless her heart, my father-in-law's asleep. My mother-in-law's got the oven open. She's got the pantry open. She's got the refrigerator open. She's got the freezer open. She got stuff in her hands. And I said, what are we doing? And she said, nothing. I said, I'm here to check your blood sugar before you eat. She said, well, I'm getting ready to eat. I said, yeah, I got it right here. I said, will you do me a favor? She said, well, I said, will you put the food down so I can check your sugar before you eat anything? She still ate a frozen bean. She said, I think she just went, okay, I got you. But what I was going to say is, though, so I sat down. I was very patient with her. We closed all the doors. We got everything straight. I checked her sugar. I gave her insulin, gave her a medicine. Then I left Bethany there with her to eat, and I went back to Walmart. Again, serving. Yeah. Serving where you're at. So again, don't think you got to have some great big pulpit ministry to do stuff. It's the little things that can. The little bitty things. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. Last night it was funny because I went and bought two, we call them pink chickens. The flamingos. The pink flamingos. I bought two little pink flamingos and stuck them in the backyard so she can look and see them when she sees the birds and stuff. She likes her pink chickens. And so I went and found two little pillows that have pink flamingos on them. So I gave them to her, and she loves those things. She put them in her bedroom. Well, she came in yesterday, and she's walking back and forth, and she was huffing. And I said, what is wrong, Mom? She said, I've lost one of my pink chickens. And so I went looking for them. I couldn't find it. Nowhere. And so I said, well, we'll have to find out who's got it. We'll find it eventually because they're on her bed. And so then a few minutes later, she's walking around. My father says, what is wrong with you? She says, I'm mad. He said, what you mad about? I said, somebody's got my pink chicken. And somebody stole it. And my father said, I did. And she said, well, you shouldn't steal my pink chicken. And so, again, we went and got it and brought it back. But you know what? Those two pink chickens mean so much to her. You know what I'm saying? Serve where you're at. Serve the people. Look, perhaps some people want to serve you. Look, people will send money to Africa to get people saved and won't step out across the street and help their neighbor. They would rather give money to whatever and they won't even reach across the pew and shake the hand of somebody. You know, so again, serve where you're at. Now, number five, we're almost through. We're almost halfway through. How about that? Okay. And God satisfies. Amen. God satisfies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like eagles. Remember about the eagle? While he's waiting, the other eagles fly over him and they feed him. He's nourished during this time. Again, he feels satisfied and fulfilled as we live out our purpose. Now, we must remember where we came from and who our source is. We must remember where we came from and who our source is. If you forget who your source is, my source is God. My source of strength is God. My source of sustenance is God. God. I loved working at Fountain. I loved working at Procter & Gamble. I especially loved the paycheck at both of those places. But when the Lord got me to understanding that they were not my source, they were a vehicle God used. God's my source. Amen? They are a vehicle. Bethany, can you get me some papers? They're right back there. Oh, you got some? They're right back there in the back, all the way back. I think I gave all mine out. All right. God is your source. Who did I come from? Well, I came from my mama, of course. But my mama and my daddy actually were just vehicles that God used to get me here. Okay, we've all got our own special place. Then maintain the vision of the big picture. If I'm only going to look at what's happening to me now, I will be miserable. What if I go and, I don't know, I've seen women get all their fingernails painted, and they're looking pretty, and they chip one nail, and they go crazy. They got 9 pretty fingers, and they go crazy over that one little nail. Yeah, well, right, well, some of them, you put that stuff on them. Well, you know, Linda, sometimes I'll paint her toenails for her. First time I painted her toenails for her, she said, when she got through, she got up next morning and looked and said, oh, she had dipped her toes in a bucket of paint. And I said, last time I did a little bit better. I didn't dip them. Yeah. Well, we're getting back to this thing, though. Maintain a vision of the big picture. I can complain because I've chipped that one little nail, or I can look at how beautiful all these things. Well, we can have a bad day. Look, a bad day doesn't mean a bad life. A bad episode does not mean a bad life. Just because something's not good today does not mean it won't be good tomorrow. You know, there was a man, I know I told y'all this, there was this man who jumped off the San Francisco Bridge. And only, I think, 3 or 4 people have survived it. Everybody else had killed just to fall. And he was talking about how bad he had it, how bad he had it, how bad he had it. He figured, I'm going to drop on the bridge next week, and I'm going to get out on that bridge, and I'm going to jump over, and I'm going to take care of business. I'm just tired of living. Well, he jumped off the bridge, but he didn't die. He crushed his vertebrae in his back, but he could still walk. And he was in the hospital for a long, long time just from the injuries from the fall. And I was listening to his own mouth talk. It was him. And he said, I knew it was the right thing to do at the time was to, because he was suffering from bipolar. And during this bipolar episode, he said, I just knew it was the right thing to do. He said, but as soon as I jumped off the bridge, as soon as I jumped, I realized it wasn't the right thing to do. So I just wonder how many people had committed suicide thinking that's the only way out. When, if they lasted one more day. Or give up on God if they waited one more day. Or one more week. There's been many times I've seen things and people come to me and I'm going, I don't tell them this, but in my head I'm going, Lord, this is a tough one now. Lord, you're going to show yourself strong because I don't see this. I believe you can do it, but it's like I tell them, say, trust God. He's got this. And then they'll tell me, okay, Pastor, if you say so. And I walk back and they're going, but I don't see how he's going to do it. I want to say, me neither. You know, just wait. Get the big picture. The big picture. If I take a 1,000-piece puzzle now and give you one piece from a 1,000-piece puzzle and say, I want you to build your life on that 1,000-piece puzzle, with that one piece, can you do it? If I give you 3 or 4 pieces, you still can't. If it's a 1,000-piece puzzle, I'm going to have to give you several hundred before you can start even thinking about basing your life on something that important. There was this guy, he had a blonde girlfriend, and she called him up and said, honey, I'm in trouble. She said, watch. She said, I've poured all these pieces of puzzle out, and I'm trying to put them together, and I can't get them to look like that picture on the box. No matter how hard I try, I cannot make them look like that picture on the box. Can you please come over and help me? He came over and said, dear. He looked for a minute and said, dear. She weren't none too smart. He said, dear, please put the Frosted Flakes back in the box. Just trying to make it like Tony Tiger. It ain't going to work. Okay. Stick with the right priorities. The right priorities. And this is your priorities down here. All right. Here's my question. Now again, this first list, the first part of it is not wrong. But if that's all you do, yes, it's wrong. But if that's how you work after you do the second part first, I got it kind of in here so you have to think. Which do you look at when you're trying to get your priorities straight, self-confidence or confidence in God? It has to start with confidence in God. And once you have confidence in God, you can be self-confident. I had an uncle one time tell me, that same uncle that was so mean, he called me over one day, and he was always trying to pick a fight. He called me over one day and he said, you don't worry about anything, do you? And I said, oh, yeah, I do. And I said, I'm in charge of $1 million equipment at Procter & Gamble. I'm there many times. I'm the only one doing electrical computers all night long. Yeah, I worry. I don't worry, but I'm concerned. And he said, yeah. And I said, I'm in the ministry, and a lot of lives are at stake, and I really am concerned. And he goes, no, you don't worry about anything. And I said, yeah, I do. I don't worry, but I'm concerned. But what I've learned to do is put my trust in God. Now, at the time, he did not like that. At the time, I just as well taken his bottom end and hit it with a rasp and thrown turpentine on it. But in later years, because he kept seeing that, he came to me and asked me how to get beyond some problems he didn't think he'd get beyond. Because he said, I've seen you calm and cool and collected in the worst of problems. All right. So, confidence in God. Psalm 56:9 says, then shall my enemies turn back in that day that I cry out, for I know that God, for God is for me. The message says, if my enemies run away, turn tail when I yell at them, then I'll know that God is on my side. Remember I told you about my cockatiel? I taught my cockatiel. The cockatiel's only has what I have. It's got a very small vocabulary. It's got like 20-word vocabulary. Mine had about 40 words. It was a Latin. But I taught my cockatiel scripture. My cockatiel would go, praise God, praise God, praise God. And it would go, and it would do things like, of course, I thought some funny things like, let me out of here, let me out of here. And then it gave a song. But the biggest thing I taught it was, I said, now, Charlie, I don't want you to be, the Bible says in Philippians, in no wise be afraid of your adversaries, because this is a token that you've been saved. So I taught my bird to say, hey, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hey, kitty, 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 kitty. And so we'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden you hear that bird go, hey, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty. And somebody said, what are you doing? I said, I told him not to be afraid of his enemies. All right. So, in Psalm 118, verse 6, The Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do to me. It's also Hebrews 13:6. God is on my side, I will not fear what man can do unto me. God is now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who dare lay a hand on me? Wow. So, remember, the second one in this sentence is where you should go to first. But I put it that way on purpose, because we're prone to be self-confident before we're God-confident. Secondly, do I know men or do I know God? I'm setting my priorities. If I know men, and I try to, and it's actually talking about relationships. If my relationships are with people before my relationships with God, then my relationship with people will be hindered. You got to have God first. Third, do I make my own decisions or do I seek to find God's will? That's a tough one. Don't be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial custom, will be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. I like the message. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Wow. That's a mouthful. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So, yes, I need to be able to make my decisions, but I don't make my decisions without God. I got to have God. If God's not helping me, I'm not going to make a decision. I've even told people before, I haven't heard from God yet. Therefore, don't be vague and thoughtless and foolish, Ephesians 5:17, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of God is. Don't live carelessly, unthinking. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. And then finally, we're through. That's why I say praise God. That's the fastest y'all said that all night. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. That would tear people up when they come in the house. So. Did that bird just call it a cat? And who's that lady? I can't even think of her name. At Mallard Creek, Lola Lee. We'll be at Mallard Creek, and I'll be there with. And we'll be at her house having the Bible study. I'll bring my guitar, and we'll sing a few songs, then we'll do the Bible study. And we were there the other day, and her cockatiel was in there. And I can't remember what the song was. I think it was He Set Me Free. I looked back at the bird and I started doing like this, and the bird started doing like this. And I took the guitar and moved around, and the bird started. And they said, that bird likes that song. Yeah, it does. Okay. Are we independent or God dependent? That's a powerful one. Because a lot of people say, I'm a self-made man. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not a self-made man. When I was a teenager, I was 17 years old when Elvis sang Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. And I would go around singing that and thinking, I'm doing it my way. Yeah. And I get my little cape on like Elvis. Yeah. You know, well, you know what? Elvis did it his way and died at a very early age when he had a whole lot more to give. I am God dependent. That's right, Yahweh. That's a good one. Well, you know, I used to sing this. How great I am. How great I am. Don't anymore. When I was a teenager, that's what I was brought up to mean. You gotta stand on your own two feet, you gotta get it done, you gotta get it done right. And there was only one thing left out, and that was the God factor. So you take all that and put the God factor. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. Because He's still working on Bethany. Don't break her arm, Bethany. You look like two times her size. You got your arm around her. And look, what poor Sister Linda's sitting there singing with, and all of a sudden you're going, he's still working on me. And there she is going back and forth. And then you went, ha ha ha! And she's going. Oh yeah, that was an awesome movie. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. All right. So God dependent or independent. Now, so remember, and this is going to go to PCDC. This is a PCDC got PCDC written all over. Matter of fact, the printer got hung up today when I was printing it, and wound up printing 100 copies of it. So I said, "Okay, Lord, you're trying to tell me that this goes to PCDC. So this is going to PCDC next." All right, any questions? And remember now, some of the stuff we've talked about, you're going to hear again soon, like the wounded spirit, wounded soul. You're going to hear about that coming up soon. And Sunday, we're going to talk about people that are hard to get along with. Well. Yeah, somebody asked me, did I ever wake up grumpy? And I said, no, I let her sleep about 30 minutes right. all right, here we go. God's good to us, isn't he? That's right. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for this night. We thank you for this opportunity to be here, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you, God, for all that you do for us all the time. Help us, Lord, to get it together. Lord, to realize you pardon and you heal and you redeem and you crown us and you satisfy us. God, help us remember where we came from and who was our source and our maintain that vision of the big picture. Don't let little things get us down because there's a big picture in all of this. And stick with the right priorities. Be confident in you and know you and find your will and be dependent on you, Lord. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen.